The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
I want to see that. I want to see the end zone cut. I'm going to show everybody week one of the NFL season. We're going to get an end zone cut. I'm going to look and go, look at the size of these guys' asses, and this is why no one can run on the Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, yeah, that's right. We like big butts and we cannot lie. Okay, that's what we do like. Yes, the Eagles, defensive front. We're going to hit that today for sure. I mean, you know, we're going to watch it, talk about it a little bit. I mean, this is all getting weird. But here's two white guys with no butts talking about football. Okay, everybody?
I'm half white.
You're half white. So you have a little badunkadunk in your bloodlines. I do not have any badunkadunk. I have more badunkadunk than the normal white person, right? That's for sure. Like when I get fitted for clothes or a suit or pants every now and then, they're always like, oh, your thighs are kind of big and your butt. And I'm like very proud of that.
They go, you're white, right? And you go, I am actually.
I am. I have been called white chocolate before though. So maybe that's what it is. I have already got my co-host here, Ahmed Farid. He's stumbling. He's uncomfortable. Yeah. He doesn't know where to go. But he is wearing his wet red pants today. Yeah. And that's all that matters. What's up, Chris Sims? Unbutton. What the fuck happened Wednesday?
I'm wondering if people are listening for the first time.
Right.
If they're like more prone to listen to the whole podcast now or less prone.
I'm sure there's, you know, some people maybe that are a little more religious that are like, I don't know if we can listen to this. Yeah. What the hell is this that I turn on to at NBC Sports?
They had it on with their kids. They're like, all right, I'm just going to listen to a podcast about football. It'll be clean. And then immediately.
Well, I get that. We get that a lot. I do get that a lot, especially I feel like with like pro football talk, but in the pod too, where I will get people who are like, man, I listen to this in the car with my kids sometimes. Can you not say so many swears? And I'm like, no, I can't, you know, sorry.
Yeah. It's what we do. Yeah, it's what we do on this podcast. It's what we do. And kids nowadays, they're swearing. No. I mean, I feel like kids, the words that we think are bad, like kids are now.
No,
like,
doubt. The rules have changed compared to when we were growing up. I mean, with social media and everything, like most kids are, they're very aware of things that they shouldn't be at the age of 10. Where I'm like, what? You know that?
Yes.
You've seen that already? Mm-hmm. It's a little disturbing, actually.
Everyone's swearing except for me now. So that's the one thing I have.
It's what distinguishes me. But if the Lions win the Super Bowl.
Yes, exactly.
Big swears are coming.
Yep. If the Steelers win the Super Bowl, you got to kiss my feet again. That's the unfortunate part of this whole thing.
Oh, shit.
You're right. This is What the F Happened Wednesday. But I kind of want to call it, rebrand it. We're still going to call it What the F
Go
Happened
ahead. I love the Ahmed rebrand. What is it? Let me hear
Buried Treasures. This is Buried Treasures. So you went diving into the film.
Right.
Sometimes you find gold. Yeah. Sometimes you don't.
Right.
But it's like, what are those plays? What are the themes that maybe we didn't see on first glance? And so these are new revelations about what you saw. Because you dove into these games deeper than you were able to on Sunday. You went in Monday, and so, hidden buried treasure. What do you think of that?
I like it. So what you're saying is we're treasure hunters.
Treasure hunters,
I like that. I'm down for that. I like that. I like to be a treasure hunter. You and me, that's cool. On a journey here through the football world.
Should
and
wear costumes.
I watched a lot of football over the last few days. You've got all my notes, right? Except you actually don't even have two pages. Actually, you have them all now.
I have them
I
all.
I just sent them, yeah.
I have them all.
So there's a lot here.
My wife saw your notes, too.
Wow.
And she goes, wow, Chris writes in cursive.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, that is true. I didn't think about that, but he writes in cursive still.
I do. It flows better.
Yeah.
I don't know. And when I write, as a lefty, if I'm writing in, what do you even call that? At a normal writing.
Yeah.
It
It's the print, right? It's it's just a little. It's not as good looking. It gets even more choppy.
Wow.
Right.
Because it's very hard to distinguish some of the notes that you
have
right
now. Well, I'm sure
now,
there is. My cursive writing is very good. I get compliments on it all the time. I do. Well, this is maybe not my best here, just because I'm trying to get through work and watch film, so I'm not. I'm trying to kind of write it quick so I can watch the next play and do all that. So it's not my perfect, but I get a lot of compliments. Okay. Fuck both of you guys.
So Pete, let's do that. Let's have Chris do your best cursive, not this crappy cursive.
Right.
Your best cursive. We'll take a picture of it. We'll send it to the homies. See what they think.
Okay.
Right.
Fine,
so they can see your cursive.
I'm cool with that. They don't teach cursive in school anymore.
They're done with it.
Yeah. I just can't even believe that. More good sword fighters in the
world.
I wonder
why. Is it like they want to use that time? It's like a practice, right? You have a two-hour practice. You want to spend the time on other things.
We've learned through evolution. They're like, when people hit 25, nobody writes in cursive anymore. So why the fuck are we teaching
it? And you go, excuse me.
Excuse me. How dare you? I do. Jeez.
I guess people are typing nowadays, which Pete has typed up our rundown.
Yep.
And he's put everything together here beautifully. So let's go through it. The hidden treasures. Treasure hunters are finding stuff with all these games. We're going to talk about Joe Burrow, what we liked, what we didn't like, Trey Lance, Aaron Rodgers, Kyler Murray, Derek Carr, the Patriots offense, Dolphins defense, Justin Jefferson, Patrick Mahomes, Tua. So you got something for everyone here in this podcast. Let's jump right into it.
Okay.
With our first game here. Let's take a closer look at the Bengals. Crazy game against the Steelers, right?
Right.
Joe Burrow, five turnovers in the game, four interceptions, had a fumble. Not a great start for them. Sometimes not all interceptions are created equal.
No.
So let's start right there.
Yeah.
The interceptions.
Right.
What did you see? Were these overall, was this a bad Joe Burrow game or just circumstances led to four interceptions?
It was a bad game. It was. The Bengals are definitely one of those teams we can put a little mark next to and go, didn't play in the preseason. It definitely showed, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Steelers defense played a little in the preseason. Steelers defense brought the fight to that offensive line. That offensive line was not ready for a fight. They were ready for practice and preseason mode. And it was one of those wow, we got smacked in the face here and we don't know how to react at first. Burrow definitely showed that he didn't play either. Hmm. And, there's the four interceptions like you talked about. I would say three of them were pretty horrible. I really would. And, and having said that, the three were horrible, and yet, he still made so many unbelievable throws and plays and did so many good things. And this is where I really admire him because, he was getting hit and killed a lot of the game too, and he's never flustered. So that's the good thing about it. But it started this way right from the get-go. I mean, you saw my notes. I really, literally went, I have a pretty good feel for this offense and Zach Taylor and what he does. He was in Tampa with me at one point as a young quarterback. He, worked for McVay, where McVay – of course came from Gruden and Tampa and all that too, so I know a lot of their rules right away. So I see the plays. The first play of the game, Burrow worked the wrong side of the field versus the coverage. He had one concept to the right, one concept to the left. He should have worked to the left. He went to the right, and then he tried to flip back over. But I was like, oh gosh, I mean, this is kind of a simple play, and I was already like, boy, he's not seeing the field all that well. And I think that would be the theme of the day altogether, is he did not see the field as well as we got accustomed to him in the second half of the year last year, where he was magical. Again, he still made some magical plays, but the pick six was the first one. The second play of the game was horrible. They had a concept where he had the under route on the outside, 5 yards, come right down the line of scrimmage. The inside slot, he runs 12 yards and runs an out route. It's made for cover two, right? So if that corner doesn't follow the guy or come down aggressively on that underneath under route, you should have the over the top route, right? Well, the corner didn't move much, but the first read is to look at the under. He's got the under wide open, blah, blah, blah. But for some reason, he tries to force it. Minkah Fitzpatrick is very wide and waiting for the out route, let alone he throws a bad ball altogether. So that was bad, certainly. Pick number three was the ball down the middle, which is another theme of this game. He was a little late to recognize, and I think you saw this in my notes, the cover two. Pittsburgh very creative and, oh, wait, there's going to be some crazy coverage. What is this? Oh, it's a cool way to get to cover two. Oh, it's a cool way to get to cover two. Oh, it's a cool way to get to Tampa two. And there was a lot of plays that I think he left on the field where I go, oh, they had a guy going down the middle to split the safeties of the cover two look, and he didn't look because he was fooled by the disguise pre-snap going, this isn't going to be cover two. This is going to be some sort of single safety defense. So that was a big problem there as far as that's concerned.
So it's a little bit of a combination there.
Yes.
You're saying Burrow played not very well.
Yes.
But the Steelers did some creative things with that zone defense.
100%. 100%. That's why, you know, we talked about it on Monday. it's the team you don't want to play in week one because yes. It's just like, gosh, damn, I haven't played much and now I got to deal with them and the crazy crap they do. So there was that. The fourth interception was just a little slot curl route. It was I believe that was a fourth down, if I remember it correctly. And he just stared the guy down. Just stared him down. It wasn't necessarily like he didn't see it. It's just like he thought, like, oh, they're in this coverage, and I should have it. And there was a guy floating in the zone. He just read his eyes and got it. You know. And then, of course, interception number two was the great T.J. Watt play that I'm not going to blame on Joe Burrow. That was just an T.J. Watt's unbelievable. And he has great sense, Ahmed, of when he sees a three-step drop, he goes, up. I'm not going to get to the quarterback, so let me just stop. And if he throws to my side, I'm going to bat that ball down or try to catch it. And he's like his brother was. His brother in his prime was just like that. Very, very special eyes into the backfield talent that they have.
That's interesting because you would almost think you'd want to do the three-step drop with T.J. Watt. Don't give him time to get there.
Right.
But he has an answer for that.
He has an answer for it. He's not going to waste his time. And that's where you do talk about, like, you know, sometimes with great defensive players, and you've heard us in the draft, where their ability to see the play behind the line of scrimmage. They're not just like, oh, wait, you're blocking me, and I'm only looking at you. You know, they're getting blocked and looking in the backfield going, wait, where's the ball? Where's the quarterback? And they're able to diagnose some things as that's going on, and he's got a special talent that way.
You got to be so strong to be able to do something like that.
Oh, it's insane.
Two things at the same time.
Exactly.
The pick six, though, you watched that play, which was obviously a crucial play in
the
game.
Right.
You thought maybe that should have got called back.
Oh, yes. Thank you for bringing me there. Well, I mean, again, we're in the era of protect the quarterback, and I would challenge anybody to go back and watch the replay of the game or anything like that. So he throws the pick six. Now he's going to turn and run to go try to chase the guy to the pylon. T.J. Watt, who was behind him, got pushed by him in the pass rush, now is behind him. So when Joe Burrow takes off to go get him, there's an illegal crackback block, right? You're not allowed to go towards your own end zone line and clean somebody out that way. You would think of all the people they'd worry about is the quarterbacks of the league of that happening. He got crushed. Hmm. Crushed to the point where he did a barrel roll in the air.
Wow.
And he's tough as hell, so he gets up. But I just, that was, you know, again, that's where I want to go. If that was Brady or somebody like that, they're going to call that because they're going to be like, oh, he's old. How can you do that to him? But, like, it's Joe Burrow. I feel like the young whippersnappers of the world, the Mahomes, the Allens, and those, they're going to, oh, they're young and tough. Who cares? That was you know, just nitpicky. I don't really give a shit about that rule, but it's called too much, in my opinion, anyways, and then we're not going to call it in that instance. That's just weird to me.
You think the NFL would want to protect Joe Burrow because his offensive line has not been doing that in recent history. So last year, obviously, that we've talked about that ad nauseum. So they revamped the offensive line this year. Mm-hmm. And he still got sacked, what, seven times?
Right.
He does hold the ball longer than he's trying to read the field. You said he might have been a little slow.
100%.
On some of those.
You're right. Just say, you got it.
So maybe some were his fault.
They were. He was... Know the animal you're playing. Like, right? Didn't we say Monday? Like, read the room a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, you're playing the Steelers. They can rush the quarterback. You can't sit back there and go, well, I'm going to bake a cake and now put some icing on it and throw some sprinkles on it. You got to make a decision, get your eyes like, what's going around me? Okay, wait, I got a little time. Let me get to number two. And then you might just have to take off, especially early in the game. And especially when you know the other team's offense isn't very good. There's no point in, you know, spinning around and trying to make a move and do all that. It's only going to lead to a disaster. And, yes, it led to some almost even worse disasters. And, of course, he got strip sack fumbled one time, too.
So how about the ones that were not his fault, though? We had Jonah Williams out there, Cordell Volson, Lyle Collins, Ted Karras. You think all of them had their issues?
Everybody except right guard Alec Kappa pretty much got their ass whooped throughout the game. Throughout the game. And I don't mean just like one play or two plays. I mean like consistently, where you're like, damn, Jonah Williams probably took the worst of it. I mean, Alex Highsmith, of course, had an unbelievable day. And Lyle Collins, he showed that, he didn't practice a ton in training camp and all that. He certainly struggled. The left guard, the Volson kid, who's a younger football player, right? Cordell Volson, right?
Cordell.
Is he North Dakota State, if I remember correctly? But either way, he struggled. I mean, hey, him against Cam Hayward? Yeah, you like Cam Hayward in that matchup more times than not. So that was definitely an issue for them. I don't – they have a better look. They do. You know, it, again, I think this is a little bit of a just not playing, Burrow not playing, and another team that came in with a mission and also knowing, like, we have to play really good today if we want to win. Right. And they have those kind of alpha males on that side of the ball to get that done.
If you're going
to
struggle against a defensive front, Steelers, that's one where you're like, okay, that does make sense, right? I don't think it's one of those situations where you're like, oh, here we go again.
No, you're
with
right.
The Bengals.
That's why I'm not.
Again.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And put that in the. You're right. This is one where there might be a lot of teams. If Highsmith can rush the quarterback like that, we know Cam Hayward's going to be a beast. We know Watt will be a beast when he comes back. You know, Larry Ogunjobi was impressive as well. He was disruptive. You know, they still got Tyson Alualu. So to your point, they're a beast, and they give you some crazy looks and all that. And that was another thing I was disappointed too, especially in some obvious passing situations. You know, find some ways to stress out their coverages. And, you know, what I mean by that is don't let them disguise and do all this crap. When you're stagnant, it allows them to really play with your mind as a quarterback. But, you know, if they're trying to disguise and do all that and you shift to another formation and then motion, sometimes they kind of go, I have to check out and show their hand and do things like that. I thought they let Pittsburgh be a little too comfortable throughout the football
so
game.
So how would you have beaten the coverage? What would you have done exactly?
And I think they got to this as they got there, but
I mean, outside of the motion and all that stuff, right?
I think the
patterns and the
right. Well, I think the thing I would have done, and I think I wrote this. I'm pretty sure I wrote this in my notes. I had a game plan of going, we're going to call a cover two play, a play for cover two. That's our first thing, and if it's not cover two, it's going to be, of course, a single safety defense, which more times than not leads to a pressure, all right? And if it's not a pressure, it's you know, some sort of man-to-man coverage. But I would have kind of called the game that way. Like, here's a cover two play. We'll get five eligibles out. You know, hopefully the back can help on Watt and then get out or something like that. But, oh, wait, you think the blitz is coming? Hey, check, check, check. Tight end, stay in, all right? Let's have an extra guy in to block. Even if they don't blitz, who gives a damn? Because we're going to call something kind of aggressive down the field versus man-to-man coverage or this single safety coverage and attack it that way. Like their long touchdown pass against the Rams in the Super Bowl. That's what they did. It was something, if you remember back after the Super Bowl, I asked for a lot. Like, can they do more of that? You know, but that would have been more of the plan I would have liked to see. You know, so they were a little late to adjust altogether. But overall, you know, I think you said it. I'm not concerned with the Bengals.
Yeah.
Even with all this we're talking about, the Bengals should have won the game. They should have. I mean, their defense was phenomenal throughout, and they had plenty of chances on the offensive side of the ball. And, of course, if they just have a long snapper, I do believe they make the extra point and the game's going to be over.
They win that whole game.
Right.
Ja'Marr Chase, you noted, looked good as fast as he was last year.
Woo! I mean, maybe faster.
More.
Maybe faster.
Wow.
Yeah, it's – it's, you know, I'm not going to say it's Tyreek Hill, but it's rivaling it. It's as close as I see in football to catch the ball, go afterburners and full speed. And, like, everyone's like, you could tell as soon as he catches the ball, too, everybody's like, oh, gosh, he's got it. Ah, let me chase after him. I mean, he's amazing. He really is.
The defense for the Steelers, good. Should be good all year. T.J. Watt, obviously, a huge injury. But he's going to try to come back,
yeah.
It sounds like,
yeah.
And play with an injured pec or get that as healed up as you can in the year. Middle of that defense, one last thing for the Steelers defense, Devin Bush.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people, they're hoping he makes the next step for the Steelers. Turns into that. He was a first-round pick, correct?
I know, right.
Into the first
round. They traded up to get him.
Did they believe in him?
It's 50. I think it's still on the fence. He split, and I didn't look at play count. I don't look at that stuff. Just to my eye, it seemed like in a lot of big situations they went with Robert Spillane. But it felt like it was like a 50-50 game. Like there was a legitimate, like, hey, we're going to let you have three series, and now we're going to let you have three series. So he obviously hasn't separated himself. The best linebacker on their team is Miles Jack. That's for sure. And he's a really damn good football player. But it does seem like they're still kind of in the midst of figuring out who to play in that situation. I will say, I mean, he doesn't pop to me. I don't sit there and go, oh gosh, there goes Bush again. Oh, gosh, there goes Bush again. Not like that. Not like he did it early in his first year before he hurt his ACL when I was saying that. It's crazy that it's kind of fallen off this way.
All right. So there's some buried treasure, hidden gems.
The treasure
that we just found. The treasure hunters found some treasure with Joe Burrow and exactly what happened there. The 49ers.
Yeah.
Turn our attention to Trey Lance here, one of the biggest stories in the NFL. All season long will be that quarterback position for the 49ers. Just really interesting. Trey Lance not good in the first game. We caveated it with it was a monsoon out there. It was going to be tough for anyone, especially someone who maybe has trouble with their short passes accuracy.
Yeah, right, exactly right.
So upon further review, a closer look at Trey Lance, encouraging signs or no?
I'm going to still say no, but I don't want to be like – I don't want to be too judgmental yet. It was sloppy. It's about as tough as it gets as far as conditions for a football team and for a quarterback to throw. And it got even – you know, unfortunately for the 49ers, you know, it was sloppy early. Then it kind of stopped. And the Bears came back and got ahead, and all of a sudden it was like – football gods will favor the Bears. And it started raining so hard that it was actually comical watching on film. You were like, holy. I mean, I was sitting there going, oh my gosh. It's like worse than it looked on TV. You're like, I just can't even believe it's raining like this. But hey, you know the concerns about throwing. Yes, it's well documented. I'm not the only one out there that has it. Does he make some throws that you go, wow? Yes. You know, he threw a deep cross early in the game where you go, that's a throw there. You know, threw a deep cross later in the game. He's more comfortable with throwing the ball down the field. That's one thing I will say to if you like Shanahan listening, you know, ball down the field, ball outside the numbers, he looks more comfortable. He's more consistent throwing those type of throws than he is the, like you said, the short to intermediate passes where accuracy and precision are more important. There's less room for error on those. I know people think, oh, it's a shorter pass. No, it's usually in a tight hole, a tight window. You know, the receiver's got a little bit of alligator arms that he's looking at, so you got to put it all in the right place there. Outside the numbers, things like that, hey, throw it out high and outside, hey, it's not that bad. Throw it low and outside, hey, it's not that bad. I mean, so there's some room for error there with that one. And that's what bothers me. You know, he missed some plays. And I think my biggest concern, because I, again, the rain hurt the 49ers more than the Bears. It definitely did.
Slowed them down.
Slowed them down, without a doubt. Deebo, Ayuk, all of those were all slowed down. Trey Lance even running that way. And also, too, this is why the 49ers are special and why we had them as one of our best rosters is not only are they one of the fastest teams in football, they're kind of one of the biggest teams in football and overpowering up front, too. And I think that the slop and their inability to get footing hurt them a little bit as well. But back to my point with Lance, the thing that I think bothers me the most is the lack of feel in the pocket, right? Like there's a play on the third drive of the football game, and I know you saw the notes here, where he's got Deebo on a little slot out route to the right. And, you know, they probably want to run that play against cover two. It's like an option out. He can probably, like, sit up in a hole. They got a guy that's running the corner over the top of him. And he looks out there, and I want to go throw it because Deebo was open. So he looks over there to throw it. But I do think he's a little scared to make some of these shorter intermediate throws. He doesn't have the confidence to pull the trigger. So he looks there, but then he comes back to the other side and he's got a little concept that, you know, you saw me draw where it's a guy that runs a straight go and 15, who is it? Is that McLeod or I forget who 15 is. I'm still getting my numbers straight in the NFL. But either way, he's got a number, like a release where he goes outside of the guy that was in front of him, and then he comes back underneath on like a slant route, right? It's wide open. Now, that's Jennings, right? So Jennings there, thank you, Pete. He looks to the right, he gets to the left. Now, the look is there for Jennings, and he really should have been there from the start. He's got a little pressure, and he's got to move. And he just doesn't have great feel for, like, again, you know, better quarterbacks in football can, oh, wait, this is the look I want. Okay, wait, I got a feel. Let me just find a little soft spot, subtle slide here and try to. But he gets into, like, running back mode, right? He doesn't stay in a throwing position. He has no feel for the soft part of the pocket. And then the other thing, too, Ahmed, is, you know, and this is where, again, he's still raw and learning. And I do question whether it'll get there. I do. I'm not going to lie. But as a quarterback, you'll get a play called sometimes, and you're getting up behind the center, and you're going, oh my gosh, the play, it should be here against this coverage, right? So you get a little pressure and, okay, I got to move in the pocket. But wait, this is the coverage. I know that we're going to have something here. Let me just find a little spot so I can just set up real quick and throw it in a spot to where he can get it, and we're going to get the play. But again, the eyes go down, the ball goes almost into a running back position, and he doesn't even give himself a chance there. That's what bothers me a little bit more than anything. So, those are the flaws I saw. And, of course, the interception, yes, he just stared it down, plain and simple. And Eddie Jackson's a hell of a football player and saw it and made the play.
Well, that's it's the eyes. And you noted multiple times, not just staring down his receiver, and Eddie Jackson was able to read his eyes, but
the eyes in general.
You said his eyes in general are looking at the rush.
Yes.
First and foremost.
Yeah, please. Sometimes I don't even know my themes as I write these down. So when you have tidbits like that, throw them out there. You're right. The eyes in general are a problem of having the feel for wait, the play is going to work against this coverage. Let me keep my eyes downfield. And then the eyes go down to the pass rush way too much. You know, I'm not mad if you look at the pass rush. But like Justin Fields or an Allen or a Mahomes, and again, I know but Justin Fields is doing it already, where he drops back, he looks downfield, then he might look down real quick and assess what's around him, and then tries to get him back up again, right? Lance's go down, and it's just like, I'm going to run. And he doesn't ever get him back up, and that's where you're going to leave some plays on the field if that continues.
But the one thing you noted that he does better than Jimmy Garoppolo did was throw those deep outside the numbers.
Definitely.
I mean, that's something we rarely saw with Jimmy Garoppolo. So that is a feather in the cap for Trey Lance.
Yes, it is.
And his running ability as well.
Yes.
But you noted it again this week, and you saw it last year.
Yes.
He's taken too many big hits on those runs.
Too many big hits. Yes, 100%. He's got to learn to protect himself a little bit. And even when he scrambles and does that, it's just – it doesn't need to be second and two and you get killed. It's okay if it's second and five and you just got the five. That's where he's got to learn to just drop down, slide a hair quicker, or protect his body just a little bit more.
Debo Samuel was one of your top wide receivers. Where was he, Pete? Did you
number
have him
two?
Two?
Yeah.
Had him just behind Jamar Chase, ahead of Justin Jefferson.
Right. I forgot I wrote this.
Where would he be in your top five running backs in the NFL?
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, his vision, his power, and his ability to stop and cut back against the grain, he is such a natural running back. It's really scary. Like, he's up there. I'm not going to say he's Saquon Barkley or Jonathan Taylor or that, but he ain't that far off. It's not. And they fed him the ball a lot. And then, you know, he can put his shoulder down because he's such a thick human being that he can run people over. I mean, ask poor Kyler Gordon on the Bears. When Debo ran that one touchdown in on the right side, I think he thought, well, I'll man him up and hit him. He's a receiver. And he got his ass ran over. And I'm not trying to disrespect Kyler Gordon. Debo Samuel run, you know, of course, us over and a lot of people over. So, he is really good. And, they paid him. Ride that horse, and now no Elijah Mitchell, I would think that they're going to continue to use him in that role.
And he's got an incentive, I think, in his deal, too, where if he runs a bunch, then
he gets the extra money.
He gets a little extra money.
I forgot about that, right.
So maybe they're like, all right, like it, and you like it now. And so, I mean, he's just such a great weapon. He's so fun to watch. I think probably one of the hardest guys to bring down, it seems like. Yeah. In the playoffs last year, when he wanted the extra 5 yards, he got the extra 5 yards.
Definitely. He just got a running back body, like we talk about a lot. You know, he's one of those receivers in football where you go, man, you know, I think 25 years ago, he'd have been a college running back. But, you know, the kids are getting smarter and going, wait, the hell with that? My career only lasts 5 or 6 years. Let me play receiver. He's kind of that guy.
All right, so this week against Seattle, how much will your opinion ride on what you see here? Because, yes, you can caveat this last game. It was the rain, monsoon, first game of the year for the year that it is Trey Lance.
Right.
But if you see some of the same things, which, I mean, it's a lot of things to fix in a week, how worried will you be if he has another down performance against Seattle this week?
I'd be worried. I will. If he does, it's another performance like that. And, again, I'm not expecting, like, 140 quarterback rating and 4 touchdowns or anything like that. I'm just – you know me. The plays that are there, let's take advantage of them. And then hopefully you can make a few plays outside the realm of the playbook here and there. I'm not looking trying to have unreal expectations that we're going to see, you know, a game here that's 30 for 35 for 380. That's not going to happen right now. But – again, I think on their home field, hopefully it won't be sloppy, a fast track. You know, they'll be able to create some plays. Now, my only concern with this is, and obviously they're better than Seattle, and it's really probably a good thing Seattle won because they won't be as edgy now, but is Pete Carroll has shown a pretty good propensity, I believe I use that the right way, for Shanahan's offense. He's one of the few guys in football I go, he gives Kyle some problems. They did sweep the 49ers last year, which is crazy to say. Right, he's got, I think, some of Kyle's tricks down a little bit and knows how to defend it. And, you know, early in their matchup career, it was not that way, right? I used to go, oh, I literally used to, like, say to Kyle when he was a young offensive player, I'd be like, Pete's scared of you. Like, when you guys play Pete, he looks over the other sideline like, what the fuck is that play? Oh, my gosh, I don't know what to do to that, right? And he's got a feel now because he's smart and he's a hell of a football coach. But, yeah, this will be a very intense week two, gotta have it type win for the 49ers and Trey Lance.
Yeah, if the 49ers lose this game, that panic meter is going to go up.
Big time. And the Jimmy G chatter is going to go way up.
They might have to tell people, Kyle might have to tell people to relax, like Alex or like Aaron Rodgers
right.
did.
Were you going to say Alex Smith?
I don't know. How did that get in there? I know. Pete goes, that was a perfect segue. I had mapped that out. I was up late last night doing that. Well, can we do that one again? 3, 2, 1. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, who lost to the Vikings. All right. So Aaron Rodgers here. You've said on this podcast for a couple of years now, I want him to take more chances.
I do.
I want him to be more aggressive.
Yes.
I want him to throw more interceptions.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of times we look at that low interception count. We're like, that's awesome. TD to interception ratio is amazing.
Right.
And you go, no, I don't like that.
Yeah. Doesn't lend itself to big game football always.
Was it more of the same in week number one of this year?
It was. It was. And it bothered me. And, again, I'm gonna say it right now. I don't think they can be nearly as successful if he doesn't take more chances this year. You know, okay, had some, you know, more veteran receivers and Devontae Adams and company. And Devontae, of course, created attention that could allow other people to be open. You know, there was more of an ability to be surgical because of that. And he didn't maybe have to take chances because he'd go, hey, you know, it's second down. And all right, as long as, hey, we're in third and five, that's cool because I'll get us in the right play on third down. And I got Adams. And if I get the right matchup there, I'll go to it. And if not, they'll have to overplay their hand there and I'll get to the right play on the other side. Right. I don't think any of these receivers are in the trust tree. So I don't think he really trusts them all the way. And their run game is good. I don't look at their run game and go, oh, wow, is this a handful to figure out and stop? It's not like Shanahan and company. It's not that. It's nowhere near that. It's solid. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to disrespect, but I don't think it's something that the defenses are going to go, oh, my gosh, if we don't stop the Packers' run game. But, yeah, it's the throws that he doesn't make that bother me. And to me, that's the problem. You know, and again, there's a few of them where you go, hey, he got a 5-yard throw here. Great, blah, blah, blah. But I go, there's 20 yards here. What are we doing? Are we worried about our quarterback rating? Are we worried about our completion percentage? I don't know what it is there. But, yeah, there was a few too many of that for my liking. You know, had a play one time where, you know, he's looking to the left. You're come back to the middle. You got a crosser. He's going to be wide open. It's going to be a 15, 20-yard gain. And he just gets it back out to the back out on a swing route for, like, no gain. And I just want to go, you know, it's those plays. You might get away with that against, you know, the Bears this week or some lesser teams. And I don't mean to say that to the Bears, but lesser teams.
Yeah.
But it's not going to get it done against the NFC elite. And that did bother me.
I wonder how much Alan Lazard, because he's talked up Alan Lazard
he
as like ready
him.
To take I over
know.
That number one
I
role.
Know.
I wonder how much that affected their game plan.
I bet to a degree. You know, because I think, you know, more like more than maybe other quarterbacks, and I think a lot of older quarterbacks get like this. They want guys that they know are going to do exactly what they're supposed to do against the right coverages, be exactly where they're supposed to be in case there's pressure and you can't see it all that clearly. Okay, I know where he is, and I don't think he had that guy in this game other than Randall Cobb, and you know, Randall Cobb's not really a, you know, a go-to receiver anymore at this point of his career.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
You liked Christian Watson in the draft. Yeah. The draft prep was one of your top five wide receivers. I think he was number two. Was he number two for you?
He was number one.
No, Jameson Williams
was number
one.
Two. You're
so
right.
He was number two. Dropped the long, sure touchdown pass early in this game. Other than that, what'd you think?
He looks amazing. I mean, he's got size, and he's the fastest person on the field on either team, offense or defense. It does not matter. He's the fastest guy in the field. Should have caught the first play of the game for the touchdown. There's no doubt. The play that Rodgers gets strip sacked, he's gonna have Christian Watson open for a touchdown. He is. He's going to launch it to him, and it's going to be a TD.
So he was getting open, obviously, on the one he dropped.
He
and then
can,
that one.
He can get open. They just got to. They got to continue to find, you know, a role for him. Probably find him, you know, a few cheap ways to get him the ball, just to get him going a little bit that way. But yeah, that. Yeah, if Rodgers didn't have to spin out and Za'Darius Smith didn't just run over the guard and AJ Dillon, he's going to hit Christian Watson. You could tell the Vikings players were like, whoa, like when he took off and got by them, they were like, whoa, he got by me in a hurry. And they were talking to each other like, oh, well, you know, like you're supposed to be there. I'm supposed to be there. So he does look good, but he's got to catch the ball and they got to find a role for him in the offense.
So bottom line on this Packers offense, and I think you said it really well in your notes, in cursive, you said they play like they're the Patriots of 2016, 17, and 18.
Yes, yes.
What do you mean by that?
Well, they're just those teams where – you know, I used to every now and then even complain about Brady and go, man, I wish he would just be a hair more aggressive. But he didn't have to be because the system was so good and he always had answers. So he'd be like, oh, second and 10. Oh, maybe I could have squeezed it in there to Gronk. But, you know, the next play, let me just check it down. And now we got third and six. And the next play, we got a great offensive coordinator, and I'm smart, and I got a bunch of good route runners and stuff. We'll get the first down on the next play. He didn't take that. He plays that style, except it's not the Patriots. And the offense is not as creative as Josh McDaniels, nor is the rest of their team as good as those teams. That's where I go, like, he's going to have to carry the load a little here this year. I do think he can't play this efficiency. I have the greatest quarterback rating in the history of football.
You've been saying that for a couple of years now. Is he willing to do that?
I don't know. You know, I watch like his Aubrey Marcus podcast, right, when he talks about the ayahuasca and all that. And you know me, I love Aaron Rodgers. I love him. And his arm is still in the conversation for the best arm in football, even at his age. And he talked about it in that where he's just like, you know, I don't really give a fuck anymore about what people think or say. And I want to just go, can you take that to the football field? So what if you throw two interceptions in the game? So what? You know, throw four touchdown passes and make them big-time plays, and everybody's going to go, who gives a shit about the two interceptions? You won the game, and your fucking four touchdown throws where you threw lasers through the air were awesome. And I think we'll see. Lazard coming back will be a little bit of a tell here this week, but I think he's going to have to make more of those type of plays this year.
So as disappointed as you may have been with the Packers' offense and their conservatism, the Vikings – completely different.
Yeah.
They were going big play Justin Jefferson from the get-go. From what you saw on tape,
yeah,
the buried treasures,
yeah,
treasure hunter, was it as good? I mean, sometimes just plays break down, you get a couple big plays, and it wasn't necessarily even designed like that. Were they designing to try to gash big plays?
Yeah, they do. They design them. And first off, their O-line is good. It looks good, too. You know, we know they've been good run blocking the last few years. They look like they've gotten better at pass blocking too, excuse me. And that's good to see. My big, I guess, overall statement with them is they just have more playbook than years past. There's more formations. There's more concepts. There's more answers for the coverages. And it's not, you know, they were very basic. You know, they were one of those teams, I think, the last few years where I go, if they don't run the ball, their pass game's not very good. This I don't think that's going to be the case this year. I think if they can't run the ball this year, which I expect them still to be able to run it, but if they can't and play that type of team, I think their pass game is going to offer up enough answers to we're going to go, they're okay, they're fine. And, of course, he's a freak show. So that's, I think, the big thing about them. There's more creativity, more motions. I thought watching the game on TV that they were moving Jefferson around even more, you know. But, you know, again, they moved him around and moved him around more than in the past. But it wasn't crazy, you know. But it was a really good start. And like I said, you could tell there's a different vibe with that offense altogether.
That's interesting because after a week and seeing that, do you feel like the Vikings could win this division this one game?
It makes me believe a little bit, certainly more. It does. Because Danielle Hunter looked good. Za'Darius looked good. All right. Their middle linebacker play with Jordan Hicks and Kendricks is very good. Safeties I got no issues with. You know, corners I think are something to question a little bit. But with that offense coupled with it, yeah, I think it is a more realistic. Like if I could go back and do our playoff things right now, I would already go, let me cancel out Dallas and put Minnesota in, if that answers your question. I would do that right there, right now. And I go, it's week one, and I'm not trying to overreact, but I did like the look of the Vikings. No
I tried
question.
To tell you. When I was making my picks,
you
I,
did.
Go, I got
I
Vikings
know.
In there. I don't have the Cowboys in there.
Listen to what I say is what you're saying.
And I got that all from just listening to you. Yeah, exactly. So the Packers, though, I do want to talk about Justin Jefferson one more time, but I think that's part of in conjunction with what the Packers did defensively here. And we talked about it a little bit on Monday's zone where they could have gone maybe man-to-man with Jair.
Yeah, or have some more of a plan to take him away.
Is that what the tape showed you, that they weren't that creative? And
Too bland. Too bland, too like, whoa, okay, it's just straight cover four. And, you know, this quarterback's smart, and this coach they got smart, and they're going to go, well, you're going to play this? I got plenty of plays to tear this up, right? So my thing with the Packers is, you know, again, maybe they're being safe. It's week one. They are playing a team that's pretty balanced on the offensive side of the ball. You're worried about that too. But also, the one thing I will say to the Packers where I just go, you got two first-round corners. What's the point of drafting a corner in the first round if you're not – I mean, you're just going to get them to play cover four and cover two and, like, that stuff? Like, you got to find some spots here and there where, you know, he's matched up on Justin Jefferson, and I know how impossible it is to cover a guy on an island all over the field, but you match him up and then, you know, have some help in a place. Even though it's man, maybe the rest of the team is playing zone, but you got a safety in the middle of the field that goes, hey, if he comes across the middle, I'm there for you. So you can overplay the outside a little bit. That, to me, is something that I would hope they do as they go along, because those corners are good.
Yeah.
Jair looks good. The kid from Georgia, Stokes, is really good too.
And that's what we said coming into this year. Like, maybe this is the year where the defense carries the Packers and Aaron Rodgers doesn't need to put up 30 points a game.
Right.
So the secondary, maybe the players are there. They have the talent. The scheme just wasn't the right fit for this game. How about the defensive line for the Packers?
Yeah. The defensive line.
How they look in this first
game? For the most part, I'm not going to be too, you know, I thought it was pretty good. I'm not going to say anybody popped. Like, I didn't – Rashawn Gary looked good, definitely. He definitely had some moments. But, like, Devontae Wyatt, the first-round pick, he didn't really get involved in any big plays. You know, I won't say that I looked at, like, Kenny Clark or Jerron Reed either and went, ooh, wow. Like, you know, Minnesota won the battle. And it wasn't by, like, I'm going to sit here and say by a ton, but they won the battle for sure. And, yeah, there wasn't a lot of difference-making F-up-the-play type of plays from the Green Bay front, and hopefully that improves for them.
All right, so that is the Packers. That is the Vikings. You know a player who used to play for the Chiefs? Alex Smith. as we transition.
as we transition
to our other game here, Chiefs versus Cardinals. What if I just do that from now on? Every transition to every game just involves someone named Alex.
Let's see if you can do it. I like it. Let's see how talented you are as we go here.
I don't know if I know enough Alexes.
Let's see.
So the Cardinals, did they ever have an Alex play quarterback for them?
Not that I can remember.
You know, Kyler Murray, his mother was thinking of naming him Alex.
Whoa.
Alex Murray would have been.
Good note there.
The Cardinals offense did not show up until late against the Chiefs. And so you looked at both the Cardinals offense and the Chiefs offense. So a lot to look at there. But I think Cardinals offense is interesting because they got down early. And they are an offense where you think, you know, historically that, you know, they can come back. Some of these teams you look at, like the Patriots, you're like, oh, if they get down 10, 14, 21, they're done. Cardinals can come back, but they didn't until the game was basically over.
Right.
So Kyler Murray, new contract, taking a look deeper into the tape. What'd you see from that offense?
Yeah, they were outclassed in this game. And again, I think there's another team that you can put in the category of one team played in the preseason and was ready for battle, and another team that was like, hey, yeah, it's week one. We'll be ready. We're ready. No, you're not. Not for this team. This team's on a mission. They are. And, you know, Murray didn't look bad. He did not. But they were kind of overwhelmed in a lot of areas there early on in the football game. And the offense itself, you know, it stinks they have no DeAndre Hopkins. You know, their O-line, I worry about it a little. It's a little older, and they got some patch-up guys where I go, I don't know. The only guy is the right tackle. I think it's the right tackle. Let me see. I got it here. Hold on. The left tackle, DJ Humphreys, where, you know, he Jones is also in there at right tackle. That's who I'm thinking of. He looked good. But the other guys, Rodney Hudson, Pew didn't start because he's a little banged up. You know, Hudson, Will Hernandez, who the Giants got rid of. It's not the most impressive group. And they got their butts whooped by the Chiefs up front. There's no doubt about that. I mean, they were all over Murray. The thing I think, you know, overall, and it was tough because, you know, they looked up and they had the ball once and they were down 14-0.
It's crazy.
Chiefs went down the field, scored. Cardinals went, 3 and out. Chiefs went down the skin, scored. And you go, oh, my gosh, we got the ball and we're down 14-0.
Yeah.
They put together a good drive. Scored on this next drive to make it 14-7. And even on that drive, the biggest play was a play where the defense thought the Cardinals' false started and kind of stopped for a second, and he hit a big play down the middle on the scoring drive there. But
you've been critical in the past of Kliff and how creative it is. You liked some of the movement.
Yes.
Some of the formations.
Yes.
For the Cardinals. You liked that.
I did. There was variety in formations and pre-snap movement and the concepts. I went, oh, that's cool what they're doing. My problem is I don't know if there's rhyme or reason to it. That's, you know, like you got to have rhyme or reason. And what I mean by that is like, wait, I'm doing this play because they're playing this coverage and I'm going to motion this guy and have these three guys over here run this route because – they're going to be screwed over, and it's going to break the rules in this coverage once I do this to them. To me, it more looks like, hey, this is a good play, and it's got some answers, and we're just going to call it. And, you know, then you don't get the defense maybe you expect, and they're coached up pretty well on that side of the ball, and all of a sudden you go, well, wait, it didn't work. And it's just like, well, yeah, I know that's a cool play, but they called the defense in a coverage that it's not for that. So even though it's cool and it might be good versus cover three or whatever else, it's not good against this intricate coverage that the Chiefs are playing or what they did here. There's no rhyme or reason, in my opinion. That's what I think bothers me more than anything when I look at them on film. And without Hopkins and without, you know, Rondale Moore, like we talked about, you don't sit there and go, oh, wow, look at this talent they got. You don't. I know we all want to say that because it's the spread and it's Kyler Murray and it's the Big 12 offense and all that. But I don't think it's scary to anybody without some of those guys.
Which is a problem because, like you just mentioned, they're not necessarily breaking people down with their scheme. And it seems like Kyler in the past has maybe broken teams down one-on-one.
Right. Right.
You just, you know, my guy's better than your guy.
Exactly.
My guy can throw
right.
farther than your guy, and my guy's faster than your guy.
Right, right. And you're going to have to worry about me running, so that's going to make you play some defenses you don't want to play, and now we got a matchup we like, and boom, and oh, wait, I found a lane, and I'm going to run here. And he had one big run in the football game, but for the most part, you know, these defenses are getting used to these running quarterbacks. This is, you know, 6-7 years in a row of special quarterbacks in football where they're all starting to go, wait, we know how to defend these guys a little bit. We know how to stay in our lane. We know how to teach the linebacker to play zone, but also keep an eye on the quarterback in case he takes off. So that's where the league is changing a little too. But the Chiefs' D-line is just they like we talked about with the Bills a little bit, they not only have some beasts, they got depth too. And that's they just kept sending waves of people. And Chris Jones and our rookie Karlaftis and the Mike Dana kid, 51 from Michigan.
So you noted him in your notes.
He whoops some ass. He's a player. They got players on this football team. And that's where the Chiefs are. I'm excited for them. You know, we know the offense is good, but I think the defense, you know, is going to be a real, you know, pain in the butt for everybody this year.
I mean, that you said this is a team on a mission, and Patrick Mahomes is on a mission. Man, if that defense plays like this all season long.
Yes, I know. They're going to be tough to beat, and that's why I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. But we'll see. We'll see if that happens. But, yeah, there's – you know, it stinks that McDuffie got hurt, their corner.
I know.
So he won't be able to play tomorrow night.
Yeah, where did he get hurt in the game? Was it late or early?
Yeah,
did you see him at all
midway through? I did. Early on, he looked good.
That's what I heard.
He did. You know, as the game went on, I think I lost track of him a little bit, and they were in control, so I didn't – but I didn't pay attention to the play he got hurt. So
right.
I can't really speak to it. That's on me. But, yeah. You know, and again, too, hey, I'll say this. You know, they had the a little unlucky for the Cardinals. I think you saw this in my notes. It's 20-7. It's the fifth drive of the game for the Cardinals. They got a 4th-and-2. He's going to have Dortch in the flat for a touchdown, or at least the first down here. And Dortch kind of trips, and Kyler sees it, and he gets off him. But Dortch didn't fall to the ground. He kind of stumbled and got up. And if he just stayed with him for a half second longer, he's going to still throw it to him. He's going to get a first down and maybe more than that. But he got off of it because he's like, oh, crap, he's going to fall down. And then he was stuck, and he had to try to run and do something else. So
yeah.
That was, you know, unfortunate, too, and sometimes bad luck happens.
Hopefully Kyler sees that on film. I don't know that that'll be the case, though. You know, that's
going to
be the question about
you're
it.
You're a funny guy.
So Chiefs good on defense. Chiefs obviously very good on offense here. And so basically you're watching Patrick Mahomes slice and dice this – I mean, was this basically just like – I mean, like, you wouldn't be able to watch us at work. It'd be like a restricted website, basically, here at work. For
yes.
Chris Sims, at home, or wherever you are watching
right,
this.
Right, right. I think the phrase we're looking for is Pornhub.com. Yes, it was. It was definitely that. No doubt about it. Yes, it really is, like, where I feel like they might, you know, and I think he's going to be dangerous this year. We know he's going to make plays, backyard plays and all that. But I do think he's, you know, learned some lessons from last year of, like, let me be patient. And I don't always have to have a magical play. If somebody's open for 6 yards here, let me gonna take it. And I think that's where it was a good start for him and encouraging that way. Let alone, again, they're creative. It's a system unlike anybody else in football. And they still got a ton of speed and weapons for him to throw to. And I just think he is absolutely on his game right now.
So he is awesome. He is awesome against the blitz, as we have seen in the past, but maybe the Cardinals had not seen that in the past. Kristen, I think we have a graphic that illustrates exactly how they attacked him. So here it is if you're watching on YouTube or Peacock. Week one at the Cardinals, percentage of dropbacks, 58% of the time they blitzed him. He was 16 of 23 with 5 touchdowns. All 5 of his touchdown passes came against the blitz, 0 interceptions.
Well, a few of them are at like the 2 and 3 yard line, right? To where they're going all out to just stop anything, and it's a tough spot.
We'll excuse 2 or 3.
Right. Which is, I don't always like those to me, like, yeah, that was a blitz, but I go, hey, it's on the 2 yard line, the goal line. Of course you're going to blitz. You're worried about a million different things. You're trying to force their hand a little bit, all of that. You know, I think they also got a little desperate, you know, at some certain points of the game where they're just going, he's picking us apart.
Yeah.
So we got to try to do something. And then added to that, and we talked about this over the last month, they don't have a good pass rush. Well, they're probably going to have to blitz a lot all year. They don't. Yeah. Who do they have that you're worried about rushing the passer?
Didn't even have J.J. Watt.
No,
in this
exactly
game.
Right. So that's where it's a little scary for the Cardinals. And, you know, the Chiefs just have so many different ways. You know, we talked about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, how he's more north than south. McKinnon looks good. Pacheco looks good. They got, you know, used some different sets with three tight ends that, you know, make you uncomfortable.
Yeah, that was – Is that usual for them? Have they done that in the past?
It's not.
Probably not a real way to do it with Tyreek out there, right?
Right. I think, you know, they've been always reluctant that way. But the tight ends they got can all really run. You know, they really can. And that's where, you know, it's Noah Gray, Jody Forston, and Kelsey, where, yeah, they're bigger bodies. They're not killers in the run game, but you got to respect it when they're in there. And then they can split out, and you go, oh, crap, like – They can run like wide receivers. So I wouldn't be shocked if we saw that as a new little change-up for their offense on a consistent basis this year.
I thought this was interesting, too, where you said they're so good in the pass, they just need like two or three run plays mastered.
They do.
You can throw out those other plays, plays.
I wish they would just find two or three that you master it. Don't worry about anything else. Because as long as you have that with all the creativity you have in the pass game, and then you got a quarterback who he never lets you off the hook. He just never lets you off the hook. Every play, he is looking for, I want to throw the big play. And what he showed to me here was, I want to throw the big play, but if it's not there, I'll come down and throw a smart play. And that's how you go, what did he go, 30 for 39 or whatever?
Yeah.
Right? So, But that is, I think, something like, again, we're not looking them to be the Tennessee Titans. That's not who they are. But find two or three that you've mastered. I had a year in 2005. We had a play, and you probably heard Gruden used to say this, 96 power king, right? I mean, we mastered it. We kind of made it our play in training camp, and we got into the year, and we had Cadillac Williams, and he was awesome. And we just said, so what if they fucking know we're running 96 power king? Let's just – make sure we block it the right way. And if it's some crazy look that we look at, we go, whoa, well, all right, we can't master this look. We have a check to something else. But, I mean, we would call it so many times in a game, I'd be like, man, can we – I would be underneath the center going, can we really run this again? This is like the 15th time this game we've run this play.
Yeah.
And – it's a little different defense, but yet we were coached up on it, and boom, 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 and I'd go, oh, there's seven more yards. Holy crap, it's unbelievable. And that's sometimes all you need when you have that kind of quarterback and passing attack.
So they got to scheme up a couple running plays that they can master, but they've already mastered, like they're short, third and short, at the goal line play. Is there a team that's better than the Chiefs at those third and one, fourth and one, goal line?
They're just like, they're the team that, is not going to go, like, I think we talked about this a little with the Bengals and the Steelers when they got down to the goal line and we're going to run up the middle on the Steelers on Monday, right? We were talking about, we're just going to run up the middle. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay, the Steelers don't think that's going to come.
Yeah.
Andy's smart enough to go, I don't care what team it is in the NFL now. Everybody's got freaks in the middle to where when they think the run up the middle is coming, I don't care who we are. You can't just think you're going to run it up the middle. Unless you got one of those just really, really special lines. But that's where I think he's amazing because he always has a good play on third and two, third and one, or, you know, third and goal from the two or three that the system helps out the players. He's not just going to go, well, I expect you to block the seven guys inside the tackle box, even though they're all 6'5", 350, right? It's just like it's not realistic. So he comes up with ways to help them. And to me, it goes overlooked because it extends drive so much. And they very rarely settle for field goals because of it. And those are little things as the season goes on that we don't give Andy Reid credit for where I go, this is why they're so tough to beat.
You're feeling good about your Super Bowl pick after seeing that tape.
Yeah.
Offensively, defensively.
Well, the most thing I feel great about is just Mahomes looks different than last year. And Mahomes has always looked special. We know
healthier.
That. Healthier running. Looks more in shape to me. And the biggest thing, and you know me, I'm into the quality of the football. And right now, every throw he throws, the ball is perfect spiral spinning through the air like out of a textbook. Wow. Last year, I can tell you early in the year, there was a lot of throws where I'd go, but that's not, yeah, it's complete. You know, yeah, that was a 30-yard gain, But that wasn't all that Mahomes has to offer. And that's where I get into, like, I think he's on a mission.
This is BVK for Ocean City Tourism, OCMD Streaming Audio. On March 11th, 2024, the title of the spot is STSA Leisure Summer. This is a 30-second composite stereo streaming audio mix.
Get away with friends to the laid-back Maryland coast, where you can catch up while casting off and hang 10 while hanging out, where a day on board is never boring and full throttle is half the fun, where you can sink a putt, raise a glass, and there's always room for one more round. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's going to be pretty fun, that Thursday game, the debut of Amazon. Get your streaming devices ready. Figure out how to put it on your Roku or whatever.
Right. Yeah, I know. I thought about that today. I like on Thursday nights to watch in my barn that you've been to.
Oh, yeah. Can you get it?
Yeah.
Can you get Amazon?
I have Apple TV in there.
Okay.
There has been a few times my little boy has fiddled with it in there when he's had friends over, and I want to make sure, like, so tonight I got to check because, you know, tomorrow night's drinky, drinky, smoky, smoky, and I want to make sure I can sit and watch that game.
Go, hey, fiddle it back.
Yeah.
Philip, fiddle it back to where it was before. Chargers, Chiefs, Thursday. The debut for that Amazon Thursday night game. The Raiders, you took a closer look at Derek Carr, got a new coach over there with Josh McDaniels. You're very familiar with him.
Yes, sir.
Raiders had some mistakes. There were some interceptions in this game as they lost to the Chargers, who will be playing the Chiefs on Thursday. As the same thing we talked about with Joe Burrow, right? You can have a game where you've got some interceptions, and you're like, those weren't totally his fault.
Right.
Derek Carr, some mistakes. Totally his fault?
Yeah. Interception one, for sure, his fault, right? And that was the one, I think, in the second quarter, right? I just want to make sure, because I don't know if I documented all these exactly.
Exactly, like, when they were, yeah.
Right. But the first one was the Drew Tranquil run, right?
He throws End of the first half.
That was a bad one. And it was a bad one because he's got Darren Waller going down the middle. He just didn't throw the appropriate ball and was a little hair late to get to it. And, you know, that was a bad one, not only because of that, but also the timing of the situation, where you were on the field, and it lent to another touchdown by the Chargers, right? So that was, if I remember correctly and got this right, it was 10-3, and that made it 17-3 because of that interception. So that was bad. There was another play when they got down to make it 3-3 on third down. They ran a play called 64 Sticks. I know the play. It's a great red zone New England play. He has Darren Waller for the touchdown. He just missed the throw. He missed it. He threw it a little too wide of him as he's crossing the formation, and that stunk. So there, Carr looked good. Carr, I think you saw in my notes, one of my complaints is always with Carr is, you know, sometimes he tries to place the ball and worry about accuracy too much. He let the ball go in this game. He threw a lot of rifles and great throws where I went, oh, man, that looked good. Like, way to go, Derek Carr.
So is this almost like the Aaron Rodgers game you wish he would have played?
Well, a little bit, right.
And made some mistakes, forced it, maybe some bad plays, bad reads, but for the most part, he was aggressive out there.
He was aggressive, and they made plays. And I think as in the long run, and again, this is a guy learning a new offense, too. This ain't easy.
Game one.
Right? It's game one. It's a Chargers D that it looks good and has the look of going, uh-oh, wow, watch out for this group, right? Staley's pretty creative on that side of the ball. So I didn't expect it to be perfect, like, we saw sometimes in games last year where he's mastered the offense. But I just like the overall look of him, and he still made a lot of big plays that were, you know, very, very impressive from that standpoint.
So what was the biggest difference you noticed on film? Josh McDaniels, you talked about how he was going to be able to utilize Devontae Adams,
right,
as a master at getting guys to run the great routes. And that's what we've talked about, Devontae Adams being a really good route runner.
Special.
Kind of sounds like a match made in heaven.
It
is that what it looked like in game one?
It does. It's he's got a guy that's, you know, it's like we talked about Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, but this is a more talented guy who also can win on the outside and scare you there. And, yeah, he just puts him in so many positions to where, hey, I got you in a spot. We know what the defense is. Now you just got to run the route on this guy right here. And you beat him and run the route the way I taught it and the way you're capable of. There's no way they're going to stop you. And that's what, you know, that's what I think jumped out to me more than anything. He played the games like we talked about, a lot of over and unders with, you know, Adams underneath and Waller behind it. I think it's going to be a deadly combination. I do. You know, just even his biggest reception of the day, right? I think he had like a I want to say it was like a 47-yard completion. I think I got it right here. I'll get to it. Where he threw to Devontae Adams on the left sideline. Yeah, 41 yards, right? So he makes it look like a play that you go, oh, the defense knows what's coming, right? Inside guy's running a go post. Outside guy, usually when that comes, they run an in cut behind it. Well, McDaniels is like, hey, Staley's smart. They're smart. They're going to kind of read this combination. You know, take that turn like you're going to run the in cut, put the brakes on, come back out. Carl throw a nice dime to you, and that guy's going to be going, oh, shit, I thought you were going inside, and now you ran a great route, and you catch it, and you got space, and you run up the sideline for another 30 yards, right?
Right.
That's where McDaniels is really cool and special.
It's kind of like the I know that I'm going to
exactly,
do this, so
right,
I'm going to have to do that.
Exactly. And that's McDaniels is very, very – I have enough experience with him to know that he's very smart that way. I've done this to him a few times. He'll correct this, and I got to have something to – you know, combat that. And he's really smart that way, no doubt.
Chargers were able to close the door on him, though. You mentioned that Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa are going to be two guys that are going to help the Chargers do that. Been a problem in the past where they haven't been able to close out games. We saw Khalil Mack was able to do it in game number one with his new team against his former team. About that Chargers defense.
Yeah.
Right? We know the offense is going to be good, going to put up a lot of points with Justin Herbert. J.C. Jackson didn't even play in this game. They still had all those interceptions.
Yes.
That's a positive sign.
Right.
Your question is still against a team that can run the ball.
Yeah.
Raiders didn't really run the ball in this game.
Right.
Don't necessarily have the guys to do that
right now.
I don't
think they do either. I think you're right, Amon. Yeah.
So, I mean, is that's still a question for
it's
you?
It's still a question for me. Against the elite, I got to see it a little bit. You know, because, again, we know their offense is really good, and Herbert's amazing, and their passing offense is real good, but I don't go, oh, wow, it's the most creative thing. They're just like, to me, a little bit of like, yeah, they know the correct plays to run against the right coverage, and he's smart, and he's just really talented, and if you do that for him, he'll make it happen. You know, but at the same time, I could see them playing some good defenses and go, hey, wait, I know this system a little bit, and we know what you're going to do here and take it away. Now, are they going to be able to run the, are they going to be able to stop the run? I'm flipped over here. Sorry.
Yeah.
I
got to
say that right. Because yeah. I do worry about that side of the ball with the Chargers, too. Sorry.
Right.
The
right.
Chargers, I worry about their run game. But yes, no, I worry about they're playing a great running offense, and do they still have enough big people to stop that? I love Sebastian Joseph Day. You know, I do. Kyle Van Noy, to him playing middle linebacker with, but still, I don't know if there's enough real big people to where I go, you play one of the elite running football teams. You had to play like the Eagles or the 49ers, right? I'm not sure you're going to be able to handle them. I guess I got to see it to believe it a little bit before I start.
That was pretty cool. We got a little bonus on the Chargers O right there, which you didn't even really look at.
I know.
That was cool. But I mean, now that you brought it up, I was looking at their running attack, and Austin Ekeler was drafted high in a lot of fantasy leagues. So a lot of fantasy players are relying on Austin Ekeler. He just had 14 carries for 36 yards. That's something to watch.
Yep, no doubt about that. They'll find the role for him. You know, they will. They got control of the game and, you know, lost a little momentum, I think, trying to be like, hey, let's just, you know, not mess this up here. And they got a little lucky, too, with Derek Carr. You know, the three – you asked me about the three interceptions, and I just want to make sure we get to that. Yeah, so we talked about the first one. That was bad. The second one was bad in the fact that he just underthrew it. He has Devontae Adams on a deep corner route, and he underthrew it by 5 or 6 yards. He was a little late to get to it altogether. And then on the very next drive, that's when he threw the Bryce Callahan interception as well. And that was pretty bad as well. So, but they got lucky in that the Chargers didn't capitalize on that. And that's where I get into, you know, I think he's getting used to a new offense and things of that nature.
Raiders and Chargers going to be in the playoff mix. Of course, they played last year, final game of the regular season, which the Raiders won. It was a different story in week one of this season. The Patriots, I don't know of a whole lot of people that have them in the playoffs right now, especially after their loss to the Dolphins in week number one. We had the Dolphins as a playoff team,
yes,
you and
sir.
I. You looked at the Patriots offense a little bit closer here,
yeah,
which is good because I don't know that not a whole lot of people are talking about that. The big storyline out of this game was the Dolphins offense, and you did take a little bit of a look at that,
yep,
too, and we'll get to that.
Yep.
But, okay, Patriots offense. The coaching has been a question.
Yep.
They don't really have – we don't know who the offensive coordinator – do we even know who's calling the plays at this point?
It looked like it was Patricia on Monday.
But they didn't say that, but you
they didn't say it, but –
they showed video of him on –
they showed video. Looked like he was the one calling it in a few times.
What if they did that? You know how they have, like, sometimes, like, the signals and you got
a – the guy.
The decoy guy.
Right.
What if on the sideline they have Joe Judge and Matt Patricia both talking into their play sheet at the same time, so you just don't know?
No, I know. I don't know what the schematical advantage of that would be, but
I just want to see that because that would be really cool. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Pete says, which unqualified person is making these play calls? But, okay, so that was the narrative going into the game.
Yeah.
The offense obviously didn't play that well, only scored 7 points in this game. What'd you think of the play calling?
Look, I got no – their offense looked good in a lot of ways, okay? I mean, Xavier Howard makes the great interception. You know, all right, so I don't want to say good. Maybe that's an overstatement. But I didn't come away going, oh, man, they're really poorly coached, and, oh, man, they got flaws everywhere. I did not. You know, still coached really well in the run game. You know, still looked really well coached in the pass game overall. I think the big thing I took away, and even this aspect of it, like, you know, in the last few years we've talked about the Dolphins with all their crazy looks, right? 11 men up at the line of scrimmage. Who's blitzing? Who's dropping? You don't know what the hell they're going to do. They're great at it, right? They were ready for that. And to the point where we just made of, like, I know what you're going to do, and then you know what I'm going to do, and all that, all the thing. Well, they have the Dolphins have a defense coordinator from New England, right? And the Patriots, I had a plan for it. And I think they were thinking and hoping they would get it more. But Josh Boyer, the Dolphins, I think he was really smart to go, wait, these guys are smart over there. Bill's smart. He's not going to let me do this to them. I know he's going to have answers for this. So there was a few times they lined up in this, we're going to bring this crazy blitz defense and all that. And the Patriots got in some formations where, oh, no, they're going to be able to block this up. They got the back, right, like standing behind the center in between the guard and the center, right, so that he can block that guy in between there. And they checked out of it, the Dolphins. They were like, you're not going to screw us over, Bill. You're not going to do that. So that was impressive. But I think overall the biggest thing that I would talk about is just, like, coach well, have all the basics down, have no problem with, you know, the way they ran routes and all of that. For a lack of a better way, the trickery, the bullshit that they're missing. You know, that's where Josh McDaniels was special. You know, hey, okay, hey, here's our normal offense, meat and potatoes. That's good. Now we got our 1st and 10. Oh, I know they're going to play this defense, and I got a screenplay that I know they're not going to be able to handle for this. Oh, there's a cheap 12 yards, you know. Oh, here's another just game plan play I came up with during the week where, yeah, this is not really part of our meat and potatoes offense, but I got a pretty good feel for them on 3rd down, and I'm creative, and now I'm going to screw you over and get a free 20 yards there. That to me is what they missed in the game. There was nothing there. That's where I looked at to go, they were cheap yards. Every play was Mac Jones, you know, just running the offense and boom, boom, boom. And there was nothing to ever give them an advantage. You know, and even when they got behind, it was just like, run go routes and you'll just throw it on the money and hit a go route. And he hit one down the left sideline to Kendrick Bourne. But I think that was the thing that jumped out to me more than anything is just, you know, we know they're not super, super playmaker heavy on their offense as far as players. Now they got to have the coaches come up with some ways to get the offense some cheap yards. And that's where I think they miss McDaniels. And that's the thing I think that jumped out to me more than anything.
There were some things you liked. You thought Nelson Aguilar looked fast.
He did look fast, yes.
Thought the running backs looked good.
Yes, they did.
Thought the offensive line looked good.
Yeah, for the most part, really did. Pass protection, okay, I wish they were a little bit better. But for the most part, it was pretty damn good.
How about Mac Jones?
Jones, too. I liked the way Mac Jones. I didn't look at it and go, oh, man, Mac looks quick. You know, they ask Mac to make high-level throws. It's not dink and dunk. He was throwing the ball down the field. He's throwing 15-yard out routes, all of that. So, you know, that was all good. It's just, you know, I don't know if they're talented enough to where they can just play it so close to the vest and normal. They got to find some ways for trick plays, cheap plays, creative plays, whatever you want to call it, just to help them get some momentum and get some cheap yards every now and then so they don't have to go 12 plays, 85 yards, seven yards at a time, right? It's just too hard. And that's where I'm going to be looking as we go forward here.
So some people listening may go, oh, he was very complimentary of a team that scored 7 points here, but that's maybe in part because you were really impressed with what you saw from that Dolphins defense, scheme-wise and player ability.
They got it all on that side of the ball. All. They got it all.
We're talking maybe top five defense in
football? I think they can certainly be that. And they don't even have Byron Jones back at corner. You know, that's where – but, yes, they have a great feel of man, zone, blitz zone – you know, all out pressure, put a guy on an island, so what? We think you'll, you know, panic and won't be able to find the right place to throw the football. They got tremendous team speed. They got the big boys in the middle and Wilkins and Raekwon Davis that are the real deal. Holyfield, Siler's a good player. You know, our man Jalen Phillips does a good job. I mean, they got players at every position to where you go, they're fine there. Javon Hollins, as you heard me say last year, I already think he's one of the best safeties in football already, period, right now. He's one of those type of players. So, yeah, I'm thoroughly, thoroughly impressed with what they got on that side of the ball.
There was one player, too, undrafted rookie, Cater Cahoe.
Right? He, like, popped for me. Like, I kept going, who the hell is this little dude flying around the field here?
You know where he went to college?
It's a weird one, right? What is it? What is
Texas
it?
A&M Commerce.
Right. I was like, I've never even heard of it.
I mean, that's not a school. It is a school.
It is.
And they
apparently
play football there.
Yes.
Undrafted
they
free
teach
agent.
Commerce.
He had a really good pro day, which I guess the school has a pro day, too. He had a good pro day, good vertical, I think, put him on the radar of a lot of teams out there. And I guess he was one of the more in-demand undrafted free agents out there, where you get a lot of calls. Dolphins called first. And since preseason, he has been very, very good for them.
He is good-looking.
Number 28.
28. Watch out for him. And then that's what I mean. It's just like, you know, Brandon Jones, the Texas safety, he's all over the place. So I'm going, man, he looks good. And, you know, of course, Xavier Howard's special. And then I think when you couple that with big guys and then pass rushers and like, the adjustments on the fly, you know, and I want to give Josh Boyer a little credit here again, too. Like, you know, he has some plays where, oh, they're kind of hitting us with shallow crossers and underneath. And what does he do? He calls a defense the next time where he thinks it's kind of coming. Like, there's no safety in deep in the middle of the field, but he's got, like, seven people in the middle. Like, you're not going to – I don't care how many people you cross or whatever. We got somebody waiting for him in every spot. And those are the things I look at to just go, man, he's got a great creative mind, and he knows kind of what to expect from the other side of the ball.
This is BVK for Ocean City Tourism, OCMD Streaming Audio. On March 11th, 2024, the title of the spot is STSA Leisure Summer. This is a 30-second composite stereo streaming audio mix.
Get away with friends to the laid-back Maryland coast, where you can catch up while casting off and hang 10 while hanging out, where a day on board is never boring and full throttle is half the fun, where you can sink a putt, raise a glass, and there's always room for one more round. Ocean City, Maryland. Somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well.
So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The Dolphins defense will go up against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, so Lamar's going to have to figure out that defense, which also means that Tua and the offense is going to have to figure out that Ravens defense. A lot of big dudes up front there could give them some issues. Taking a closer look at the Dolphins offense here, Mike McDaniel, the first time we really got to look at his scheme off the Kyle Shanahan coaching tree. Could you tell that?
Definitely.
When you watch the tape?
Definitely. I was wondering how much it would look like that, but I know you watch Shanahan because, hey, they're good, and you know he's my friend, and I talk about their offense a lot, but a lot of similarities. I mean, just people going everywhere, and you're going, I don't know where it's coming, where it's going. I sit there sometimes and just go, I don't even know how you defend some of this shit. How do they do it? I don't know how they do it. The Patriots defense did a pretty damn good job. But I do think the Dolphins left some plays out there on the field that could have made this game a little more comfortable. I do. But I love the flow of the offense. I do. Now, the big thing I need to see, and you know this, is Tua making big plays with his arm, not just being like delivered for him, all right? And then what I also wonder, too, is their own line going to be good enough to run the ball like a Shanahan offense? I don't know about that yet either. Now, this the Patriots defense, like we talked about on Monday, they got some stout big dudes up there. But – you know, that's where, okay, if they can't run the ball and now some of these movement tricks are not working, am I sold that it's all definitely going to work? No, I'm not quite yet. Not quite yet. I gotta see a little more from Tua. It was a good start, but even in this game, as you saw in my notes, you know, the O gives you a lot to think about, but does he have the arm to take advantage of some of the plays there that are there with Tyreek and Waddle? And that's the thing I'm going to continue to watch here.
What did you see from the first play of the game?
First play of the game was a high snap. And they, as the snap comes high and he jumps up and gets it and fumbles, the corner stops on the right side of the ball, like stops to the quarterback's right. And Tyreek is gone. I mean, it's a touchdown. He's uncovered. And I don't know what, Tua just like panicked or something and just threw it out there. And it like fell to the feet of Tyreek, like 5 yards short. And it's like, oh, okay, hey, it's the first play of the game, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, that's what I mean by this. You know, first off, his arm did not look strong in the game. It did not. Even on some of the completions, there was even a few out routes that, hey, I'm glad he threw it and all that. But I just went, man, I mean, he had to give it all he had to throw the 12-yard out route right there. That does worry me. And then, you know, there was a 3rd and 1 on the first drive, all right? So this is a few plays later, where Tyreek's in a tight split to the right. The fullback is offset, right? So you think, oh, they might just run weak ISO and smash somebody. Well, Tyreek runs the post. The fullback comes out of the backfield and acts like he's going to block and go straight ahead and then wheels up the sideline. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but the first read I would think is, let's look at Tyreek deep. And then go to the fullback. He's got Tyreek for a touchdown. I mean, he's got him for a touchdown. Either way, he goes to the fullback but misses the throw. The fullback was open, so I'm not mad at the fact that he went there. But, you know, again, those are the things that I just looked at and went, oh, man. Like, did he get back to the top of his drop and look at it and go, whoa, he's far down there. I don't know if I can reach him or what. I don't know. But there was a few instances like that where I, like I said, no disrespect, great start, Dolphins look good, they just got to see that with Tua.
I mean, that's going to be the question, right? You got Waddle and Tyreek, two really fast dudes who can get down the field.
Yes.
To reach their ceiling, you need a quarterback that can get the ball out there.
Definitely. It just as we always talk about, I'm not talking about a team here that we're going to go, well, they just need to be 500. We're looking at the Dolphins going, they can be something. And if they want to beat the better defenses and better teams in football, that's all I'm holding it to that standard. I think he's going to put up pretty good numbers, and like I said, they're going to win games. But are they going to be able to maybe win the AFC East and maybe make a run in the playoffs? They're going to have to. Then that's where Tua is going to have to do some of that stuff we're talking about.
Yeah, NFC East. Talking about Easts.
Is there an Alex in the East?
I was just trying to think of an Alex. There's got to be an Alex here.
Well, he did play in the NFC East just 2 years ago.
He played against Alex Smith played against the Eagles at some point, I'm sure.
Did.
Right?
He was on Washington.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, yeah, he did.
Right.
Well, Pete, what was his record? last one we're going to look at here is the Eagles defense. It was supposed to be really good.
Yeah.
I mean, it should be pretty good.
Right.
They got a lot of big guys and, you like what they've done in the offseason, made some trades late, secondary should be pretty good, and they won against Detroit, but they gave up 35 points.
Yeah.
Some of that was late, and so you were curious to see, like, okay, were the problems just garbage time? They let up, let Detroit back in it. They did have 21 points up to that point.
Yeah.
So Eagles won the game. Yes, a lot of positive things from Philadelphia right now, but was that defense at all concerning to you with how they played against Detroit?
100%. It's the same thing we talked about last year. You know, I know you and I talked about this a lot. I like their talent on their defense. You know, they're well coached. They're never really out of position, and I get that. I don't think that can win anymore in the NFL, though. Just with going, we're going to be simple and we're well coached. I mean, it's just, it's not. It's not going to get it done. It's not. Now, they were lucky in this game because it was the Lions and it's Jared Goff, and they're not necessarily a top offense in football yet. But it's way too simple and bland and predictable to where, you know, I know we talked about this at one point last year too. When they played good offenses with a good quarterback, I mean, whether it was here we go. Thank you, Pete. You the man. I mean, look at this. This is the teams I would classify from last year. And Ahmed, you can bring up their schedule from last year, too, to look at this, because they got a little lucky with not having to play a lot of great offenses and quarterbacks. But, jeez, you know, talk about this a little
so
right
here. So here it is for those listening. The defenses versus the notable quarterbacks last season. So week three, they played against Dak Prescott. He threw for 238 yards but completed 81% of his passes. Pretty
right.
easy for him.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes the next week, 80% of his passes. Tom Brady the 2 weeks later, 81% of his passes were
for
complete.
297.
Derek Carr the week after that, he threw for 323, 91% completion percentage. And then Tom Brady again in the wild card, which was a blowout. He completed 78% for 271 yards. So, and we forgot Justin Herbert. Not that we forgot. We just didn't have room in the graphic.
Right.
84%, 356 yards for Justin Herbert.
That's what worries me. And again, I know they're good. I want to say I know they're going to be in the playoffs. We're holding them to a bigger standard than that here. This team has got more potential than, we think you can just get in the playoffs. So, yes, it's way too bland that way. And they gotta trick it up a little bit. It doesn't need to be a lot, but we can't just break the huddle and be like, we're in cover four. Hey, Mahomes, we're in cover four. Brady, it's the NFC Championship game. We're in cover three. You could see it already. Make sure you call a good cover three play. Like, that's what they're doing basically, and that's where it's just not going to get it done against those type of teams. You know, Goff missed some opportunities early. You know, they could have gotten a shootout here and made this very interesting. There were some plays to be had.
Pick six hurt for Jared Goff.
Pick six hurt big
time. Hurt.
It definitely did. I don't know what really happened there. You know, the guy ran. He had two slot receivers. They both ran what we call stick nod, right? So they're inside. They run a little 5 yard out, and then they run up, right? Because they run stick a lot, so you get the teams to be over aggressive and jump that, and then you hit the little double move up it off the seam. He threw it like it was the stick route, and the guy went up the seam, and the guy was open up the seam. So I don't know who to blame there. But yeah, that was a bad one because you know that swayed the game into making what 21-7 at that point. And that's where it, you know, stunk for them. I don't know what he was doing there. But, yeah, they gotta figure it out because even forget the pass game. As the game went along, too, I know they had the big run. But once, like, okay, we got a big run, then the Eagles, like, they had a few plays of where, hey, we'll play the bare front and have 5-on-5, and that'll slow you from running the ball down. But then as the game went on, too, they got a feel for, oh, wait, when we play with this formation, they get in this front. Let's call this play because it's going to be tough. They're not going to be able to – I don't care how good their guys are. They're going to have a tough time with that offensive line because we got to give the Lions' O-line some credit. They are some freaking killers. I loved watching them. And so – but they're predictable from that standpoint, too, where – you know, they could play a good running team. I don't care how many big asses they got that we want to see lined up next to each other. If they're playing a good run team that knows what to call in the right situation and has some good O-line, they're going to get gashed there too. So that's where I like to see them change.
Was the all-butt game, right? Lions offensive line, Eagles defensive front.
Yeah, both lines, yeah, for the Eagles. They got it all there.
I'm glad we got some Lions love in there.
Yeah.
One last thing, for as discouraged maybe as you were with the plan for the Eagles on the defensive side of the ball,
yeah,
what'd you think on offense?
Yeah, the offenses, they put you in a bind. They really, really put you in a bind. Sirianni's smart. Hurts is, of course, a very gifted runner. You know, again, the throwing doesn't wow me, but it's good. And he, as we've talked about, he throws a good deep ball, right? And where they get you in a bind is you try to get people at the line of scrimmage because you're worried about, whoa, not only their run game, but then their ability for Jalen Hurts to keep the ball off the run game, and we're outnumbered, and it's hard to cover all the gaps here. But, like, they put you in a bind because Sirianni's smart, too, and he goes, oh, okay, they're going to do that. Oh, well, here's a wide receiver screen. You got all those guys in there. We're going to mash them in there and throw a screen out here, and oh, no, now he's doing this. And then, oh, it's one-on-one on A.J. Brown. Let's just throw a go down the sideline. He'll beat the guy. He'll beat it. Jalen throws a nice ball down the sideline. Boom. That's where they put you in a real bind that way. And then the other thing is Hurts has got incredible instincts and knowledge of when the team's playing the right defense for him to run. Two-man, you know, two safeties deep, everybody's manned underneath. Guys turn their backs to run with the receivers. He sees a lane. He goes, I'm out of here. See ya. There's nobody looking at me. Ooh, I'm running down the field and nobody's chasing me. You know, man-to-man covers the same way. You blitz thinking, let's overpower the run game and do all that. Okay, he doesn't throw the go route or something like that. He makes a guy miss, and then it's, whoa, there's nobody else there. Everybody blitzed. I ran by him. I'm gone for another big game. The Lions did not have a plan for his scrambling. That's where I was a little like, what the hell, Lions? Like, how could you not have a little bit more plan for that? And I came away from the game, and I think one of the things that I wrote was, I would err on more on, you know, I'd rather have Hurts beat me with the pass game than him running around and doing that. And I don't know exactly what your formula is going to be to do that, but some sort of zone where eyes are on the quarterback and you make him throw the ball into windows and do that, and then he can't scramble that way. You know, now the problem with zone is sometimes it's, you know, you can't get people at the line of scrimmage to stop all the gaps and run all that. But I would think that's what I would do at a base level without getting too intricate there. But it's going to be something to watch for them as well.
Eagles should be pretty good in our homies playoff predictions. Remember we did that? We got 813 responses for that.
That's awesome.
All the homies gave their predictions on what they think will happen. 83% chose the Eagles to win the NFC East.
Wow.
Just 14% chose the Cowboys. This is before week one.
Yeah. They're
well
smart.
Done. Well done, homies.
Yeah, homies are smart. They've been listening. They know they got a good roster. And, you know, I think that's probably higher than the normal football fan,
because
you and I
so.
Have banged on the table about how good they are.
Yeah.
I do think a lot of football fans realize with just some of their offseason moves that they're kind of a force to be reckoned with here. But, you know, I think we're a little higher on them than most podcasts, maybe.
Yeah, 83% chose the Eagles to win their division. Only 78% chose the Packers to win the NFC North. Mm.
Well, that's a good one. That's one where maybe they didn't listen to us, or maybe they listened to you, and they were like, Minnesota could be something here.
Although I had the Packers getting to the Super Bowl.
Oh, so, you did. Yeah. So that was a stupid
pick. That's a problem. But plenty of time. Relax. Just relax here. All right, some hidden treasure.
Hidden treasure.
Hunters.
Well, I want to say one more thing, and I know you love this because you're like, would you please stop talking?
No. Up? I like that.
I just want to talk one quick thing about the Saints and Jameis Winston.
Oh, okay.
I just would like to hit that.
This is
because
a bonus nugget.
A bonus nugget of, man, the Falcons defense was so impressive for three quarters. They really physically won the battle against the Saints offense and defensive line. They really did. But specifically to the Saints offense, won the battle not only in the run game, but got pressure on Jameis Winston. And really, the run game stats are a little misleading because they had two big runs with the Taysom Hill Wildcat package.
Yeah.
You take that away, they couldn't really do diddly squat in the run game. They couldn't protect. Fourth quarter came around. They got a little tired. I think, you know, Saints O-line settled in the game. Jameis pushed the envelope a little bit and made some just incredible great throws and things. And then, of course, Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry made some incredible catches too. But, yeah, that to me was a big win for them. I think that's going to give them a little bit of a jump-off confidence. And, you know, they haven't won that way with the Jameis Winston yet, right? You know, come back where it doesn't look good. We're getting whooped. And now he does all the smart things and keeps us in there and then makes plays to help us win the game. I thought that was pretty cool. I want to give Atlanta credit for really playing tough and physical and looking better than when I expected. But, you know, I think the Saints just kind of got worn down at the end of the football game, maybe not with enough depth. And then, like I said, Jameis just made some really great throws and plays.
But it was no fluke that the Falcons were up 26-10 in that game.
It was not.
They deserved that.
No. The Saints have a flaw with the quarterback running scheme. We've seen the Saints not be able to beat the Eagles the last 2 years with Jalen Hurts, right, where they've run all over them. They have to figure out how they want to defend that type of offense because they have a real issue. And I was surprised with just some of the normal plays that they just gashed them and Cordell Patterson just running through the middle of the line for 10, 12 yards.
A bonus nugget
bonus.
At the end of the pod.
Booyah.
Cool. I liked it. I like that, right?
We
didn't look at film this year.
Right.
It's a big change from last year. We had a lot of film. We will be doing some of those on social media.
Yep.
Maybe not today. There are a lot of meetings in the building, so it might be another day. A
lot of meetings in the buildings.
Yeah. We don't want to go there. We don't want to go there. We had a good pod. Everything was good. And if you're a homie that made it to the end of the pod, you got a bonus nugget.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Right?
And if you watch the pod, you can see that Amon's got his red pants on, and we're back. Everything's back.
We're
mid-season form.
When I walked in, I thought, I'm back.
Yeah, you're back.
I'm
you
back.
Definitely
because I got the glasses on. I got the hoodie on. This is my look.
I know.
This is red pants, hoodie, glasses.
I'm trying to hold off on my hoodie just till it gets a little colder. I don't want to wear it out.
I know
out
it does seem like I'm going to the hoodie a little early here, but it's my style.
That's all right. And it's cold as hell in this building, so I don't think anybody's worried about that. All right, you good? You want anything,
I'm good.
Else?
I got no bonus nugget.
Thanks for leading the charge, as always. You the man.
Thanks for your cursive
notes. It. No problem. I'll continue to do that to drive you crazy on Wednesday nights. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
Keep sending in questions. You know that. I'm trying to watch as much as I can, and I'll continue to do that. Tomorrow is the PFT Chris Sims collaboration picks with Mike Florio. I do think you should pick some games, too, and hand them in.
Okay.
So we can keep track, even just for us and our sake, because I don't get to do the picks with you.
Maybe I'll do your best bets.
Okay.
Right? Don't you do three best bets?
Right, which I was 3-0 last week. I'd like to remind everybody, if you wanted to make money, listen to me.
I did. I don't often bet, but I did last week just because something came up on, you know, it was like a free bet or whatever. I almost won like $200 on a $10 bet.
Wow.
I had 49ers losing.
Ooh,
I had that one, so that happened.
Good
I had
for you.
Chargers covering.
Right.
I had one other one, but the one I missed was Carolina Panthers.
Oh.
I had them winning.
And it was close.
That almost happened.
You almost had it.
Yeah,
I had the Ravens covering against the Jets.
Boom.
The Dolphins covering against the Patriots.
Boom.
And the Chiefs covering against the Cardinals.
Boom.
So
you know.
We'll see if I can do that again this week.
I go in down three already. Going in down three, but that's okay.
Okay, yep. All right, cool. You're right. So they're very nice of you to add that in there and be honest and tell us what your picks were because you could have lied about that.
Maybe I will. Can I add those? Can those be my picks from last week? I'll show you the receipts. Okay.
All right. So everybody pay attention. Me and Florio doing the podcast tomorrow. Subscribe, rate, review to this one, to the one tomorrow. And hopefully you'll listen to the picks podcast with Florio. And you know we'll be back here Monday with reacting to all the games on Sunday. Ahmed, you the man, okay?
Clap it up.
This is BVK for Ocean City Tourism, OCMD Streaming Audio. On March 11th, 2024, the title of the spot is STSA Leisure Summer. This is a 30-second composite stereo streaming audio mix.
Get away with friends to the laid-back Maryland coast, where you can catch up while casting off and hang 10 while hanging out, where a day on board is never boring and full throttle is half the fun, where you can sink a putt, raise a glass, and there's always room for one more round. Ocean City, Maryland. Somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well.
So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.